faith, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not yet seen. That's Hebrews 11:1. Faith is a gift from God and one in us once we believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior. We will then begin a life of transformation, presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, whereby we are constantly growing and developing. That's Romans 1 or 12:1. We're shedding the old and we're becoming new. The message version of Hebrews 11:1 reads as follows. The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we cannot see. Therefore, when you think of faith, it is important to recognize and realize that faith cannot exist without it involving another. When you think about it, faith can't be contained within ourselves. It's only temporary if we have it within ourselves or faith in ourselves. We need His strength. It involves faith in someone, in something. For Christian faith, it is centered upon Jesus. It's been centered upon Christ. This is why in the Bible, in the book of James, it says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing comes from the Word of God. The power of God, His Word, illuminates our heart and gives us revelation. So faith in God through Jesus leads us to desire transformation in our bodies and in our lives. Writer James Early Massey describes faith as follows: a personal commitment to experience what truth presents and makes possible. It is then that the truth of God leads us. Once the assurance is in our heart that we belong to God, we start thinking about what our faith looks like, how we want our walk to be contained, how we want to continue our walk. Today we're going to look at Luke 19:28-40 to see an example of what it does contain. But first, I want to read to you Romans 12:3 to provide the focus on what we're going to be talking about today. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. The measure of faith does not mean a given amount. It doesn't mean that a smaller amount happens for some folks and a larger amount for others. It is enough to equip us, to save us first, and then equip us, and it is sufficient and is sustaining. So faith is the measure of faith. It's a full amount. In the parable that Mike gave the children's message to and what Stephen read, the one where Jesus is teaching about faith, we learned that a woman used 3 measures of flour in her bread, adding leaven. In this case today we had 4, though. But in general, it's three from the Bible when we're reading, adding leaven to her flour so as to help the bread grow and expand. Each measure is described as a cup. A full amount, an amount that is adequate to fulfill whatever task God has in store for us. The faith found, or the grace found through faith in Jesus, produces the measure, the full amount. Everybody getting it? Everybody on board? Is given to us in terms of gift so as to build up the body in unity. The question I want us to consider today and to look at is our cup of faith? Is the measure continuing to grow? Is it like the yeast expanding? The leaven, Christ in this situation, most of the time everywhere else in the Bible, leaven is used kind of to speak of it as evil. But in this example, it speaks of Christ or the Holy Spirit in us. Christ living in us and growing inside us. So, the power of the Holy Spirit activates this faith and helps us to expand the kingdom of God. So it may start small, but it grows to become larger and larger. So I want y'all to think, are y'all enriched flour, or maybe are y'all all-purpose flour? Faith, you know, for us is really hard to describe. It's hard to put it in words and to explain. And when I started thinking about this and trying to come up with some type of tangible picture of what faith looked like, I had to think about maybe what are the elements that are involved in faith. How can we identify with what faith is? What is the criteria in faith? And I said, well, it'd have to have the element of being uncomfortable. It'd have to have the element of suffering. It'd have to have the element of being steadfast and steady. And it'd have to have the element of not having control over it. It also would have to have the element of something that it's experienced over time. So when we think about faith, all of us have different ideas about what faith would involve and what things we would maybe partake in if we had a little faith. And I thought, well, parachuting. I think I'd parachute. I think I'd parachute if somebody was at the door of the airplane kind of gently pushing me out. I think I'd do it. I think I'd probably ride on a hot air balloon if it wasn't too windy. And I think I'd bungee jump, and I actually have. But I prefer to do it tandem with somebody else. So how do you think about your measure of faith? What do you see is a kind of a tangible picture of what your faith would look like if you could put it into terms? The closest way that I could identify with faith was for me to maybe be riding a donkey down the Grand Canyon on the side of a cliff. You know? And if they put something over my eyes, that would make it even a little bit more difficult. That would be a definite faith journey to ride a donkey by the side of a cliff going down the valley in like Grand Canyon or something. My eyes were blindfolded. Maybe that would help me. But do y'all see it? Do y'all see yourself on that donkey? Do y'all see yourself on the side of that cliff, riding down on the side of the cliff on the donkey and seeing all the ground below? Are some of you really holding on tight? Some of y'all holding on to the hair of that donkey? Some of your legs probably really squeezed together as you're going down? I had to say something scary today because it is Halloween. So I wanted y'all to realize that faith sometimes is a bit scary. It's uncomfortable. We have all the elements that I talked about. But when you start thinking about riding a donkey, who does that take us to? Who do we think about who rode the donkey for us? We start thinking about Jesus and him riding up and through Jerusalem, through the Mount of Olives, and up and across and back down to the cross. We think about his last days of ministry, his earthly ministry, so as to bring us the good news. So let us read together right now Luke 19, and we'll begin at 28 and read to 39. After he had said this, he went ahead going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethpage and Bethany at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied to there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it.'" So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They said, "The Lord needs it." Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their colts on the road, and he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives. The whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice and for the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the heaven highest heavens. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones, they would shout out." When we look at this piece of scripture, there are many parts of this passage that we could concentrate on. In verse 38, where it speaks of blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord, we can really see that the folks in the crowd were looking for a deliverer. They were looking for somebody because they knew a Messiah was coming. They knew from Old Testament prophecy that one was coming. Very important piece of this scripture. The other part is that on verse 39 and 34 and 40, where it says, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." So very important, because this meaning that nothing will contain God. Nothing will contain God. If you look in reference to the stone, and worship will always arise from his followers. Always. Very significant point. But the area we want to focus on and the reading that we want to look at in relationship to the measure of faith begins right there at verse 30, where it says, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden." Okay, important point. You see, it is interesting that they have used a colt that has never been ridden. That means that it's pure and unblemished, just as Jesus is pure and unblemished. It would be ideal choice for Jesus to ride on. Everything in Scripture has such wonderful meaning and impact. If we think that he even was chosen to ride on a colt that had never been ridden, thank you, never been ridden, it shows that he was our perfect sacrifice without sin. It reiterates that. So the primary verse that captures the idea of faith, the measure of faith in this story, is right at verses 31, 32, 33, and 34. Let me reread those. "If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you just say, 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as they were told to them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They said, 'The Lord needs it.'" So the first part of this right here is where we see that that God's word was being said to them. All right, God's word. Jesus was talking to the two disciples. He was giving them direction. He was telling them where to go and what steps to take to get to the place where God wanted him to be. He was telling them, when you get there, they weren't even sure probably how to get there, but they were following the directions and taking one step at a time and getting to the place where they would find the colt. Very important point. So they were doing action, and they were doing what God asked them to do. They were listening to God's word, which we now see as Scripture, God's word. And also significant is that when they arrive to the location where Jesus wants them to go, the owner simply asks a question, and they release the donkey to the disciples. That would be like for one of us in this room right here, getting up and leaving, taking a left, taking a right, following directions, then going up into a dirt road and seeking right there, seeing a car on the right, and pulling up to the car and getting the keys and getting ready to get in the car and leave. And the owner coming out and going, "Why are you taking our car? Why are you taking our car?" So in that mind, the owner of the donkey had to be receptive to the releasing of that donkey. He had to be receptive. It would be very unusual for somebody to come up and take their donkey. Who knows? It could have been the only donkey this guy had. It could have been the only thing that he had later to use use for transportation. So these two actions were involved in faith. As James talks about in the epistle, talks about faith as being active, and without it, it's dead. The works are dead. The word propels us, Jesus' word propels us to produce actions, one in the doing and the other in the releasing of something. In this case, in this very story, we see a great piece or a great example where the disciples go and the owners release. The act of doing something and the act of releasing happens. In just this little verse. The act of doing may involve something physical, it may involve movement, it may mean actually a visible response to something. The act of releasing maybe would involve something that's uncomfortable. That may mean giving possessions, stewardship. It may mean releasing anger. It may mean releasing hurt. It may mean releasing lots of things, even love, through the action of forgiveness. So how is God speaking to you today? Is he asking you to move into action? Or is he asking you to release something? He could be asking both of any one of us in here right now. Because he's asking us to grow in our faith. The measure of faith, is it expanding? In the case of the disciples and the owners, these two examples may seem incidental, but it helped to lead to the greatest and the most important act of love ever. By this response of obedience and by being faithful, this led Jesus to the cross. This led to the way of salvation and reconciliation in our lives. The suffering Jesus faced along the way was an obedient act in which he moved to the cross, and then he released his will into the hands of God. Act of faith brings the most fulfillment of God's plan, acting in faith. The measure of faith, our gifts, are evidence of his grace, and we want to keep growing in our faith so that our cup is overflowing and it deepens our walk with Christ. Now we know that this measure of faith, we know that faith will involve suffering and sacrifice, but our joy, it is much bigger and it's deeply embedded because of Jesus living in us. Yet at times, we have to confess, and we have to say that we are overshadowed by pain, I mean real pain, that holds us back from our intentional desire. It is as if we are not hearing God's word at times, and it's not illuminating in our mind, because we are so deeply troubled by real pain that it stifles the measure of faith in us. Recently, someone was talking about a situation that they were involved in, and it was that they were sitting in a hospital room with someone. He said the woman that he knew very well, she laid there very sick, yet she was still very coherent. She knew what was going on. She was just tired and very frustrated, and he said you could see in her eyes that her faith had dwindled, that she saw no hope indeed. It was vanishing, and she looked up to him to grasp for some help. He said, for the longest time, I didn't know what to say. It was as if she wanted something to believe in, something to hold on to. And finally, he said, right now, how about this very moment? How about I offer to give you enough faith for the two of us until you get through this storm? You see, that wasn't meaning a saving faith through Christ, but it was a faith that needed help through love. See, it reminds me that faith for us humans is empty at times, that our cup, our portion, does not seem adequate. Peter needed help from Jesus, right, to walk on water. And also the disciples needed help when the little boy from the spirit couldn't be healed. The disciples needed help from Jesus. You see, we're very relational folks. We need each other, and we need to support each other and to help bring comfort to one another. We need God's word spoken from one another because it is powerful and part of his plan. Faith working through love. As we wrap this up, I've got to tell you, though, that when you think of faith, and you think of this story, and you think of their obedience, and you think about what they have done, you realize, you realize that you cannot put an ED on faith. The verb tense in our English language, when you think about it, is remarkable that even at the origin of time when language begun, that faith was so strong that it never could be added an ED to. The suffix that you can add to it is full, faithful. And if you continue to add the measure of faith to it, it can extend even longer and bigger for the kingdom of God by adding to it faithfulness, faithfulness, always growing and expanding faithfulness. He wants us to bring, as it says, rather, in Hebrews 12:2, Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. He wants us to bring all our good work, all his good work, to completion. As I wrap this up, I want us to be sure and know that if there's anyone in here seeking to know Christ personally today and you want to confess that you put your trust and faith in him and you want to receive the eternal blessing of life, that we invite you to do so today. We can have Stephen talk to you when he comes back in. But as I close, I want us to look back at this section of Scripture. And I want us to keep in mind that Jesus, he could build this kingdom on his own. He has power enough, but instead, he chooses to put power in all of us, the Holy Spirit, to do what we could not do ourselves. He does this because of the incredible love that he has for each one of us. He puts us in positions and places to live out our faith. So in closing, I want to reread verse 33, and I want us to listen closely to what it says, the last four words. If anyone asks you why you are untying it, just say this: Lord needs it. Let us pray. God, help us to be obedient. Help us to hear your word and help us to listen to what you are teaching us. Help us to know that you want us to both do and you also want us to release. You want us to hear you in all the ways we journey through our life. Lord, there's times where it's uncomfortable. And it seems almost compelling for us to stop having faith. But we can't. We know it is something that you've put inside of us and to share with others. Thank you for this time together. And thank you for our church family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Guide my every way. Will I receive the words you say? Every moment of every day. Will walk by faith, even when I cannot see? Well, because all With one breath you made me new. Your grace covers all that I do. Yeah, 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 yeah. Well, I will walk by faith, even when I cannot see. Well, because this broken road prepares your will for me. Well, I'm broken, but I still see your face. Well, you've spoken, pouring your words of cannot see. Well, because this broken road prepares your will for me. Well, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, hallelujah. This broken road prepares your will.